Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Mentor Moments episode with me, Gary Fox. Mentor Moments come to you every single weekend, and they are the best bits of our most popular episodes. Today, we're going all the way back to episode 127 with Emmett Savage. He is the co-founder and chief investor of My Wall Street. My Wall Street have raised over $8 million in funding, and he personally has achieved a 24% average annual return over the last decade. He is one of Ireland's best stock pickers, and best of all, he does it in public for us to follow along. In this mentor moment, you're going to learn why social proof and having strategic partners is a brilliant strategy, and you're going to hear about the day he almost gave away 20% of his company for a dollar, and why he says you should too. This episode, as always, is brought to you in association with my partner, Sage. Sage is the number one provider of payroll, accounting, and HR solutions to small and medium-sized businesses, just like me and you. So to help you get prepared for self-assessment and payroll year-end, click the link in the podcast description below. On to my episode with Emmett Savage from My Wall Street.
That's not to say that we're dealing with a dumb world. We're dealing with a very intelligent world, and everyone has their own stuff to deal with. They have their own area of expertise. They have their own things to think about. And they simply, it's like, great, now I understand. So what should I do? Yeah. And we could see this was like an orchestra. Everybody was like, so what are you doing? So the way I dealt with that was I started a Twitter account with the padlock on it, ready to request access. And I said, look, I can't tell you what to do. That's a different business model. It's regulated. I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what I'm doing. And I, at that moment, decided to abandon this concept of privacy. And I tweeted every time I bought a share. So a few years later, and this went on for 5 years, I got an email in the inbox from somebody who is in one of those courses. And I didn't know who's in the room, frankly. I didn't care. It's like, there you are. Did you bring your check? Have a seat. And I got an email and it was, dear Emmett, I attended your very first course in Ballsbridge, and I'd love to meet you to discuss the performance of your stock picks. And I won't say who this individual is, but he's a highly, highly influential individual who'd be very well known. And I met the guy, and
that's an ominous message to get, Emmett. That's a very ominous message.
Oh yeah. Hell, you better believe it, because I sat up straight when this arrived. I was like, what did I say now? And what have I done?
Yeah.
This individual is an expert in law. So I met him and he said, look, no, just go get it checked. I honestly think you've got something good here. So through very generously, an individual in KPMG said, look, I'll take a look at your track history. It's not an audit, but I'll give you a letter that states what your compounded annual growth rate is, but you can't use it for promotion or marketing or this or that and the other, because a full audit was too expensive.
Yeah.
And my 20-year compounded annual growth rate at that time, known as CAGR, was, I think it was 22.3% for 20 years. It's grown to about 26% over the last 25 years. And that is, I believe, quite good. So so that was one of the chapters where My Wall Street was born, that there was somebody willing to say, look, go get this checked. Because in my mind, I was an engineering manager. Mm. I was a technology guy who thought all night and day about stock market. Literally, if you saw me staring out the window, I was thinking of stock market. From that day to this. So I had a letter that said I had a reasonable track history. I had John and John and I had insights from what people actually want and what they need. So everyone enjoys education, but they don't have to think at the end. And then I had a long-term relationship as a stock analyst with the giant of the industry, the Motley Fool, for whom I worked, for probably 10 plus years as a stock analyst. So John and I hopped on a plane I think I Facebook messaged Tom Gardner, who's one of the co-founders of Motley Fool. And I said, Tom, can I meet you? I have an idea. And John and I met, went out to Alexandria in Virginia in the US. We met the CFO of the organization, a hugely supportive individual from the first day we met him, Olin Douglas. And we met Lawrence Greenberg, the chief legal counsel of Motley Fool. And we met all these people who are part of the organization from the earliest days. And I had this ridiculously naive pitch deck. I can still embarrass myself thinking about it. And we ran through to say, we're going to get the World Investing. We know mobile really well. You guys don't. We can do this really well. We can get a whole new generation of investors mobilized. And that was in the year, that was at the very end of 2013. And today in whatever, May 2021, we've about 3.5 million people using our apps, and that was great, because at least I can say to the fool, well, at least we got something done.
What did you want from them? What did you want Motley Fool to say to you?
I was willing to part with 20% of the business for $1. That's the first time I've ever said that out loud. And the reason was, like, if you do an MBA, you know, 101, they say, if you're going into a new industry in a different sector in a different country, is basically the end. Like, businesses that try and diversify, even with a product in a new market, a new product in a new market, is danger. You know, it just won't work. I was a guy, John and I were two guys here in Dublin, Ireland, with a concept to get the world investing successfully. So we'd never developed an app. We had never run a publishing business. We had never run a multimedia business. We'd never run a fintech. And what we needed above all else was credibility. And for the Motley Fool to say, we'll invest, and believe me, they didn't put a value so low on the business. They did not take 20% for a dollar. The terms they offered us, John and I were high-fiving each other all the way through Alexandria that night. You know, it was great. And to have, you know, to have a shareholder who is the dominant name, the most positive force in the world in the area, just gave us permission to come back to Ireland and raise capital here. Like, for example, if I say to people, if you're starting a yoga clothes business, go to the highest person you can find in Lululemon and be prepared to hand over a chunk of your business to that business for a penny. Because from there on in, you're the yoga guys part owned by Lululemon. And the value of that bursts open the doors. And, you know, we're all familiar with these TV shows where you pitch for money. And sometimes I see entrepreneurs missing the point. They need to, what the real point is, they're going to walk outside the door and go, we're invested in by the Dragon's Den. And that's going to bring a whole new flush of capital towards the business, because it's known and it's credible and it's entertainment and whatever. But the point is, when you're getting going, you need a credible player on your cap table, a capitalization table of shareholders. And that was the earliest days of my Wall Street. We had the backing of we had the backing of each other. We had the backing of many entrepreneurs around Dublin. That individual I met in Ballsbridge said, I'll invest, and he invested. Mm-hmm. And then the Motley Fool are investing, and then friends and family. And they say when you raise money first, there's the three Fs, friends, family, and fools. Well, the fools were the Motley Fools for me and for John. So we did our first round. We raised €750,000. We got the full extent of Enterprise Ireland's backing at the time. And we were strong enough to quit our good paying jobs in our big corporate life and go out to Nova UCD, the kind of incubation center in the main college of Ireland, and get a two-person office. I swear it was like a broom cupboard. And we were delighted. It was, you should see this place. It was literally like a broom cupboard.
There's nothing really as sweet, though, as that first office, that first check. Yeah, all those moments are so sweet. Now, I always say that to people when they're starting off, like, enjoy it. They're like, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed. I was like, no, you'll look back on this and this will be one of the proudest days. What you've given there, Emmett, is just gold. Like, I'm furiously writing notes here. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Emmett Savage. We release a new episode of The Entrepreneur Experiment every single Monday, Thursday and Saturday. So wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else, hit subscribe and you'll get notified when a new episode drops. I'll see you back here next time.